You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, we're starting something all right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by
we want to start a fight.
Liberty Ford. Michael Jackson never wanted to start fights, did he?
No.
Well, except in maybe
bad.
In bad and
remember
beat
the
it.
Gang fight? Bad, yeah.
Guess I have
he was more of a lover than a fighter,
yes,
though.
Yes, he was. No doubt about that. The legendary, the late, the great. Bringing us back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fork. Great to have you with us, everybody. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm. Delighted to be with you. Looking forward to the chit-chat and all the dialogue. You can do it at 216-578-0850. And all of you on Twitter, at Michael Regei, at Browns underscore Daily, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura. You're going to be covered each and every way you go. And we'll get into our tweets, as we always do, a little bit later on in the show. Our hot topics of the day brought to you by Ohio Business Machines. What's the matchup that the Browns have to win to be able to beat Pittsburgh on Sunday? Second meeting in 5 weeks with the bitter rivals. So it's the second weekend of October, and this is it for the Browns at Pittsburgh this year. Scheduling a little bit different than we normally see it, but what's your matchup that the Browns got to win? And if you're on the Browns defensive side of the ball, you're in the meeting rooms with Jim O'Neill, who's the one player you have to slow down to win. Is it Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, or Antonio Brown? I went with Roethlisberger. Matt went with Le'Veon Bell. What say you as we dive into this here on Cleveland Browns Daily? Let's start in the big league city of Cleveland. We don't have to travel very far. Right here in Cleveland town, here's Larry. We welcome Larry to the show. What's going on, Larry?
How you doing, Michael?
How are you, man?
Okay, I'm okay for old man.
You're a young man. Say that. You feel young, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Every time, every day you get up, you have to feel young.
Glad to hear that, Larry. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay, I got two questions for you guys. Okay, first question is, do you think that Gordon has changed since, you know, he's going to come back this year?
Do we think that has changed his outlook and his perspective on dealing with life and how it pertains to his NFL career? Is that what you're looking toward?
Yes.
I would say yes. And here's the reason why. Having been a player in the National Football League and understanding the new policy and what Josh Gordon is up against on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, even during his suspension, that meaning he's going to counseling. He is having to provide a urine specimen at the drop of a hat with that 4-hour notice, as we've talked about. You know, sometimes two times a week, you know, 5-6 times a month, and also too, I think the fact of the matter is, he's missing out, and I'll revert back to a tweet, I believe, from training camp this past season when Josh was still actively practicing with the football team, mm-hmm. and it was a picture of him catching the football on the practice field, and he talked about the football field, the one place that I truly feel like myself, and he's missing that right now. So we just hope that the fact that he's missing that and the scrutiny and the microscope that he is under personally – having to provide specimens and divulge information about himself and get better is bigger than whatever he was a part of, whether it be a drug or what, you know, one thing that kind of at some point we feel had him wrapped, that he hopefully he's opened his arms and he's burst out of that.
Yeah, and Larry, we appreciate the call. Matt referenced that tweet, and that's something I couldn't agree with you more. That's always stuck with me too. Because I saw that if that's the first step, and we've always said, first of all, you'll get your life in order first. Forget about Josh Gordon, the football player. Get your life in order first. Make sure that that's important to you. And then I've always felt if you do that, then the regaining and being able to retain and sustain your ability to perform the way you want to, then it will become more important to you. And it won't allow you to go back down that road again.
Yeah.
So let's hope that's where he is.
Exactly.
And being in this building, now it, you know, it's okay, it's not 100% of the time, but I keep going back to this because it's a fact. Any of Josh's previous missteps or slip-ups have not happened during the football season.
Right.
They've all been when it was out of season.
Right.
And we're away from this family, this football family, that seems to have been able to have an impact on him so that he did not feel tempted or whatever or motivated to go down that road while he was in season. Out of season, that's a different story. That's where all his slip-ups have occurred.
Correct. And before we get to our next caller, and we'll close this book on Josh Gordon as we look forward to the, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns in this locker room now that'll play a football game on Sunday, is I truly feel that Josh Gordon has to say and really say, what are the priorities in my life? And that's the one thing that I knew as a player, and you don't realize it until it's gone. All your coaches will tell you your career is going to go by so fast when you're in your first, your second, your third year. You're like, I got it. I got 8. I got 10. I got 12 years in me. But then it's gone.
Yep.
And what you have to understand is Josh Gordon has the opportunity, even still, based on his performance when he comes back, to make a significant life-changing amount of money in a short period of time.
That's right.
What he does with it, I don't know. But if he can get over whatever problem he's had and put that best foot forward and perform and have his, as you said, Reg, have his life intact both on and off the field, he can be significant in our community and he can be significant in this league.
It's got to be. Think of the message, as you said, in the community that and the Browns, this organization is so very strong with that and wanting that heavy involvement. And not just wanting it, pretty much, you know.
Demanding it.
Demanding it. It's a given. If you're part of this football organization, and yet for Josh, he also, speaking from the football perspective, it's always about, I want to be the most elite of the elite. When you say wide receivers, I want to be.
Now, you got to be on the field.
You've got to be, you know, the old, the best ability is availability.
There it is.
You're not available right now, Josh. You got to get to the point that you are, and let's hope that for all the reasons we said. Larry, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Let's head down I-77 out of the Dog Bowl. Here's Don in Akron. Welcome, Don, to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Mike and Matt, glad to talk to you guys.
You
Our
got
pleasure,
it, brother.
Don. Go right ahead.
Michael, you being a baseball man, I have a quick baseball story that correlates to Antonio Brown.
Okay.
When Lou Brock was a rookie, he reached first base against Sandy Koufax, and he was dancing off the base pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
The next time up, Sandy Koufax drilled Lou Brock in the back, and they had to carry him off the field. That's what,
old school style pitching.
Yeah, that's how this Cleveland team has to become, and someone has to lay the wood to Antonio Brown, or I don't respect them. They have to let and I'm not talking about a dirty hit.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a clean hit. But somebody has to tell Antonio Brown, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the AFC North, we're here to stay. And until that happens, the Browns have not arrived.
You make a great point, and I'm even looking, listening to you make that point about Antonio Brown and that hit. I think it needs to reverberate through this entire team. You know, it needs to be much bigger than just one player. It's that one hit on Ben Roethlisberger. It's that one hit on Le'Veon Bell. It's that one hit on Antonio Brown. Not just one guy. And then the fact that you said, and again, Mike Tomlin knows this. He knows how good this football team is, and he's still probably the Pittsburgh Steelers coach because they can win those football games consistently over the Cleveland Browns mm-hmm. and have success in the AFC North. But it's that punch in the mouth to the whole Steelers team, like, hey, we're here, we're coming to play, we're going to be physical, you know, all game long, and that's been our biggest problem. And they know they're in a fight. Because we didn't throw a first punch week one, the Steelers are like, same old Browns, we got you now. You know, and we came out fighting with our gloves on, but we need to do it for 60 minutes.
All for it. Listen, I'm getting very excited and fired up just thinking about it because, to me, that still is always, always the best way to announce your presence in high school football, college football, the NFL. Man, when defensively you go and put that big shot on one of the best from the other guys, your presence is now announced, and no one could speak to this better than you. You just did. Don't think that doesn't resonate, because it does. It's noticed, is it not?
Oh, it absolutely is noticed, and that's why it's, again, you look at the Pittsburgh game, you look at the Tennessee game, the two games we've almost come back, one that we did is, we know that we can take a shot. We can take adversity. We can take the punches. We can take the hits and bounce back. What I'd want to see is, look at the New Orleans Saints game. What some people thought was a Super Bowl contending football team, we came out with the gloves on and started punching Drew Brees, that offense and defense, in the face. Mm-hmm. And we, albeit a lot closer than it should have been, we won the football game. And that's what I want to see. And that is the best way to put that stake in the ground and say, we're here in the AFC North to compete, to contend in this division, and no longer be the stomping, you know, the whipping boy of this division.
Exactly. You're not just going to whip up on us any longer and think that we're going to back up because you want to play physical. I mean, especially in this division, I've always felt that. And don't forget, too, you know, whether or not, you know, you got the thing with Antonio Brown where on his punt return, you know, he elevated. Some think it was by design, on purpose. Some think he just got caught up in the air and it wasn't. But regardless, you know, he came out with a non-football type move where, you know, he put those cleats in Spencer Lanning's grill.
And to that point, to Don's point, Don in Akron, our last caller is,
yeah.
I think that's where that big hit on Antonio Brown's going to come. It's not going to be in the passing game. It's not going to be because we're playing a little too safe, you know, in that defensive backfield giving up that big play. It's going to be Antonio Brown returning, trying to make that game-changing play where a guy like Jimmy Leonard can make that big hit, dislodge the football, and change the game completely.
Love it. Love it. That could have ramifications toward winning.
And 2 weeks in a row, the special team is making a big play. I love it.
Exactly. I do, too. That could have ramifications toward winning that, I mean, you can't even put a price on. You can't even begin to quantify as we sit here today. Let's sneak one more in. You guys are good coming out of the shoot today. One more in before we go to the break. Let's go down to Canton. Yeah, the Hall of Fame city. Canton, Ohio. Here's Jeffrey on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what, I like Don and Akron talking about putting a hit on Antonio Brown. Likewise,
we do too, Jeff. We do too. We're excited.
I'm looking at a team here with three stud running backs and a real tough offensive line. And you burn the clock running that football, keep the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands, I think it's a recipe for success. I don't care if we throw a pass in the whole game, you know, but it's got to be at least 70% run in this game and just keep moving the chains, burning the clock, punching Pittsburgh in the mouth, and let's come out of here with a win.
I love it. Your formula, your recipe is, you know, is terrific. I hope it's that easy. You know, usually it isn't. But, again, you have to believe that these are some of the ideals and philosophies that the Browns are talking about. Don't you, Matt? I mean,
you definitely do.
Look, you cannot – I said it yesterday. I stand by it. I've watched all five games. Pittsburgh. I've watched the all 22 of all five of them. I've been – you know, I've done that for years with the Pittsburgh Steelers because it always pertains to the Browns.
Sure.
I do not see the same Pittsburgh Steelers that I've seen for years. I don't think – they're as physical as they once were. I don't think Dick LeBeau is able to do the same things that he was defensively. I think he's having to be a little bit more creative, where in years past, they knew they had you out physicaled from the time they came out for warm-ups an hour and a half before the game when the kickers came on the field. The kickers were more physical than you.
That's so true. And I'll say this. I really
don't see that anymore.
No, I really do feel... offensively for the Cleveland Browns, we're going to still continue to see against the Steeler defense the team that we know they are, the team that they've proved so far, that 20-plus point scoring offense with that perfect combination of the run game and Brian Hoyer in play action pass. the Steelers just do, again, in some cases, it seems like they're reeling. They're trying to find that fix. And like you said, Dick LeBeau's having a dig.
Searching, you know,
and he's trying to
he's
have.
He's in his laboratory. He's trying to orchestrate. Very, very good at.
Yes, he is.
But I mean, this isn't the, you know, thump and grind, and we're just going to come and lay you out, Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I don't think anyway.
No, I don't either. And as we talked about it yesterday, you know, the roster being made over with Kiesel being signed late, and Harrison off the streets, and Ike Taylor breaking his arm a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
In prime time. So they're definitely not the same team personnel-wise.
No, you're absolutely right about that. We're off to a rousing start. Love it. All you guys have been spectacular. We've got more. Don, Ryan, Jim, hang on. We got another segment to go as we begin with our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. What's the matchup? The Browns have to win. To win this one on Sunday, what is the individual player, if you're Jim O'Neill in that Browns defensive meeting room, that you got to slow down? Is it Ben Roethlisberger? Might it be Le'Veon Bell? Is it Antonio Brown? We've discussed all three of them. They're all quality now. There's no question about that. So which area do the Browns have to go first and foremost there? At 1:45, so say in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to hear from the defensive coordinator of your Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill. His side of the football has been reeling a little bit. It's taken some shots under some criticism. What does Jim O'Neill have to say in preparation for Pittsburgh? We'll find out. We'll hear from Jim O'Neill coming up at about 1:45 this afternoon. That's why you're here. That's how we do it. You're not going to miss a thing. Got the roundtable coming up, presented by the Blue Point Grill. That's at 2 o'clock. We've got opportunity for you to jump in on the Twitter side as well. Fact or fiction, Nathan will jump back in. All going on for you. No need to go anywhere else other than right here. Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford. Don't move.